Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Forgotten Conservative. This is Hour 4, July 23rd, 2022, 60604. So 604 for those of you that are not used to the zero in front of the six. Speaking of clocks, I don't know if y'all have heard my clock chime in the background. I've opened this door for the last 3 hours, well, this one and the other two, but I had it closed in the first one, I believe, or at least partially, and it was hot. I was sweating my fellers off, and so I went ahead and opened it for starting in hour two. And at some point on this last break, I thought, well, damn, I don't know. Not that it's a big deal. If you guys heard my clock, it dings or chimes, I guess, dings once at the bottom of the hour. And then at the top of the hour, it, you know, does like just a few minutes ago, six. So I'm not sure if you guys heard that. But one of the things that kind of aggravates me is it's one of my anal OCD, or I should say, what is it, CDO things, my little inside joke. It's not OCD because the letters are out of order, alphabetical order, so it's CDO, an attempt at humor, an attempt to downplay how just severely ate up I am about certain things. And this clock, I bought it at a yard sale. Now, the woman told me if I got the bedroom suit, there was like a dresser with a mirror, which I don't care if I don't even have a piece, a stitch of clothing in that dresser, or I think my girlfriend calls it a bureau, whatever the name is. I don't care if I have one stitch of clothing in that piece of wooden furniture. I was buying that sucker for the mirror, okay? Mirrors are one of the things I love. I've talked about that before. Yes, to a degree of vanity, but mirrors, it's this remarkable piece of art that you can look at that piece of art, and every time I've looked at the art inside of a mirror, I've just kind of smiled and been amazed and just thought it was such a gorgeous piece of art. Okay, of course that's a joke, but I do like mirrors. But anyway, so the woman said, if you get the bedroom set, if you get that thing, and I think I got my whatever bookcase thingy is, if that's originally what it's called. I use it to hold books. Actually, it holds my grandfather's clock that I want to say dates back to the early, to let's say 1920s, maybe some have said as early as single digits, like aught six. Some have said into the 30s, but it doesn't work, but that's my grandfather's clock. Anyway, in fact, this clock that dings sounds like that if it was working. So she told me if I got all that stuff, that if I wanted to come back and get the clock, she'd give it to me. Even though she swore up and down it worked, I ended up spending $100 at the yard sale. All of it was perfect timing, just absolute perfect timing. And she said, and I had so much stuff in my truck, I really didn't have room for it. So she said, if you want the truck, we're about to wrap it up and go in. It was a Saturday. She said, we're not doing anything Sunday. We'll be back out here next Saturday. If you're interested in the clock, I'll give it to you. You don't owe me a dime because it, by this time, it may not work. You know, I couldn't get it to work. My son says it worked, but I'm not going to charge you. You spent $100. So I was like, thank you. And I was still hesitant. Anyway, I go back the next Saturday. I work nights right after I got off. And so we're talking 7-8 o'clock in the morning. And she's not there, her son is. And it's a $10 thing on the clock. I think it was 10, 5 or 10. And I was like, hey, dude, you're the one that helped me load all this furniture last week. Your mom said, since I didn't have any room, to come back today and she'd give me the clock. Well, he wasn't having none of it. She didn't tell me. She put 10 bucks on the clock. If you want it, it's 10 bucks. So I ended up paying 10 bucks. And I thought, if nothing else, maybe I can at least get an estimate if it didn't work. It works. I've tinkered with it off and on, tweaked it, so forth. I mean, there's certain things you can do to help it, to kind of make it work. But no matter what I do, it rings, it alarms or whatever, and it's like 3 seconds before the hour or 3 seconds before the bottom of the hour. And I can't get it like right at the perfect time. And it drives me crazy. Because I want it like when the clock says, when it goes from 5:59 to 6 o'clock, I want to hear that first bell or chime or ring, whatever. So it didn't work for 2 weeks. At one point, and I couldn't figure out why. But anyway, I finally, about a week ago or so, I got it going, then it stopped again, and now it's been going, I think, since Thursday. No. I've got it written down. So it's been over a week. So that's the sound if you do hear it. If you don't hear it, just totally disregard all 6 minutes and 54 seconds of that non-essential story about the little things that drive me crazy. You know, if you don't know it, you will know. I made up. I'm, you know, again, I say, now maybe some of these stories I tell you guys, you'll understand why I say that my noggin may at times be a blessing, but other times it, you know, may fight against me. And that clock, you know, at one point I had five or six clocks in my garage with my first wife. Every single one of those clocks were within 5 seconds of each other, from whichever was the fastest to whichever one was the slowest. Every clock was within that 5 second margin of error. And I was happy as a pig in crap. Loved it. I can't get none of them around here synchronized. And I'm not going to blame it on me. I'm going to blame it on poor workmanship. Whether it's the clock or the batteries. Poor effing workmanship, craftsmanship, etc. But don't think it doesn't occasionally hit me that I'm looking at a clock that I can tell is like 2 minutes fast or 2 minutes slow. And I think, well, do you want to stop it? Do you want to have it, you know, have one time all day long and it's right twice? No, but still, it's just one of those little things that drive me crazy. My girlfriend, I don't know if I mentioned my next visit, I'm meeting part of or some of her family. Don't know the details yet, but I mean, I'm only there Wednesday. She'll take me to the airport Saturday at some point. I haven't bought my tickets yet, but I need to get back to Jacksonville probably no later than 8 to 8:30. I'm doing at work next Saturday at 9, whatever day that is, the 5th or 6th of August, whatever day it is. So it would have to be between Wednesday afternoon to Friday evening. And she's, you know, she tells me last week, we had dinner, family event, whatever it was. And she's like, oh, I was bragging on you to this and that. And I'm like, what? What are you doing? And a couple of thoughts immediately enter my mind. Number one, I don't accept compliments. So that kind of it motivated my response. But I'm thinking, number one, the humor side of me, when I hear that you were bragging on me, just like immediately earlier tonight, my mind goes from making a statement about I don't read the Bible enough, to hearing the song or the line in my head, to being pissed off at myself about not reading the scripture, you know, just that quick in succession, bam, bam, bam. Well, when she told me this, you know, whatever, a few days ago, whenever it was, that same process starts. And on the humor side, I'm thinking immediately Dumb and Dumber, where Lloyd tells Harry to go to Mary Swanson, Lauren Holly, and he says, well, why don't you go over there and brag about me and build me up? Or no, why don't you go over there and build me up so I don't have to brag about myself later? And of course, his friend agrees, and he goes, well, what are you going to do? He says, well, I'm going to sit over here at the bar and put out the vibe, and sticks his ass out. Like, you know, that's the thing. But that's, so that's the immediate thought when she uses that term, brag about you. The other thought I'm thinking, oh shit, don't build me up too much. You know, the taller they are, the harder they fall, kind of thought, fleeting thought, which again, fleeting in that it makes that circuitous trip to back to hour two, maybe, when I mentioned, let's just wrap it up and easily and say the principles, where I said the principles don't just get off at the next stop, that if the principles leave the train, it's because we took them off the train. So in that brief second, that other half, I'll say the other half for illustrative purposes, but the other thought simultaneously with the humor thought was, you know, don't build me up. So in case I make a mistake or you know, I'm flawed, I'm a sinner, whatever. And it goes from that back to that reinforcement that I know I control the principles and the train ride. And when I talk about things like that, not the jokes I make or the process my brain goes through, and how I overanalyze that whole process, that's why I need other people for input. My brother and my sweetheart, thank God I have them, because I have to run things by them. So you've heard me talk about myself, conservatism, reinforcing, doing things, whether it's reading the Bible or listening to conservative talk radio, reading good quality conservative websites or, you know, mobile apps, diving in, thinking, questioning, I would say, understanding that if you're watching anything that's coming from mainstream media, including Fox, and that's a blanket statement, I think Mark Levin is probably my number one dude right now. I've listened to him for years. I've got, I think, a total of 3 of his books. And I just think he's brilliant. He's a good thinker. And he writes kind of on a philosophical basis, which is kind of like right up my nerdy alley. You know, a very engaging talk show. When I came back from my hiatus, it's kind of tough to get back into him. Not because of him. Had nothing to do with him. Had to do with me. And was I ready to not only to listen to conservative talk radio, but to think behind the words, to understand the words and relate the words to the meanings. Because he also believes words are important, like I do. I don't listen to him. I didn't listen to Rush because they held that single same philosophy. Because holding that philosophy, I think is becoming more rare and rare. I don't think it's necessarily anything special that I hold that philosophy. I can't help it. I can't talk, or if I'm writing, I can't express any other way. That's why you hear me say, I don't know if that's the right word. Or you hear me say, don't quote me about something. Or I say, you know, I'm not sure if that sums it up, if that's accurate, if that's too strong. Because at the time when I'm fishing for a word, I want you to totally understand my point and what the point I'm trying to make, what I'm trying to say, so on and so forth. I want that above all else. That boils down to the ability to communicate. But if I fall short of, in my mind, of conveying, articulating, or demonstrating what's going through my brain, then I use, I don't know if it's, okay, here's an example. I will use qualifiers to alert you to say, I'm not sure if that's the right word or too strong or accurate, or but in hope that you take that information and understand, okay, it's not saying exactly what he's trying to say, but it's getting there pretty damn close. And that's the best I can do. I don't know any other way. I would probably have to go to some kind of speech plus behavioral type of person to be another way. Because what you can't see here quite often is, you know, I'm wailing around. My hands are going a mile a minute. I don't think about them. There's no reason for me not to be self-conscious. But again, that whether I'm talking here or talking, you know, in line going to see a movie or checkout or whatever, chances are if I'm passionate about the subject, I'll be acting the same way. But Levin is one of those that believes that words mean something and understands that the left has hijacked the language. Now, I will admit this, a lot of Republicans do agree that the Democrats, the liberals, the kooks, progressives, Marxists, etc., have altered the English language. Some go and say what I said earlier, hijacked our language, the English language, definitions, etc. I believe it's, again, hijacked, yeah, it's good enough. Tells the tale, illustrates the point. But that's what they have to do. Just like, you know, abortion distortion. Come up with creative ways to make murder seem less than murder, in essence. That's basically the bottom line. Create a language that says what we want, tells our point, our end result. Again, that the ends justifies the means. Tells that we want to be able to kill and murder that baby, but it doesn't say that outright. Okay? When Chuck Schumer, and this is, I believe, there's probably 49 Democrats that will argue with me, and I will take them on, it one at a time or all at once. I don't need notes. I need nothing to take those 49 Democrats on. I would do it just for the hell of it. Swear to God, I would do it right now, tomorrow. You know, hopefully if I have to miss work, somebody, maybe one of the commercial companies or something, the sponsors would reimburse me. I wouldn't want anything else. But I'd love a chance to sit down across from those 49 senators that just voted for that latest abortion bill. And I'd like to know what they voted on. I'd like to hear their colorful language of what they voted on specifically, and furthermore, how they describe it. How they, you know, like Bob Ross, no mistakes, just, well, I don't remember the saying, but I mean, I watched him on occasion. You know, I don't want to go down that Bob Ross hole. I don't. I think I may have discussed him once before about his original job. He was a drill sergeant in the Army, hard charger, totally different personality, even behind the camera as a boss. But again, it's knowledge. Why have that knowledge if you don't say it? Curses. Happened again. Anyway, so again, those 49 senators, basically the bottom line is they voted for abortion up to, you know, 30 seconds, 30 minutes, 10 minutes. So in other words, the chick's in labor, the water's broken. You know, she's, what do you call it? When she dilated. I think that's, I'm glad I didn't say what I was about to say, speaking of language. But she's dilated, and maybe the baby's, oh, you know, he's moving. He's, you know, he's packed his bags. He's, you know, making his way on down. And the woman says, hey, man, I got a little bit of time left. I don't want the kid. I don't want to put him up for adoption. I don't, just do what you got to do. Make him non-existent. And I'm making that less of what it is. But now think about that. Just in me explaining, you know, what these people voted for. I don't even want to come out and say it. Okay, these people just voted. 49 United States senators just voted for this bill. Thank God Joe Manchin didn't. And it didn't pass. Regardless of whether it would have stood up under the scrutiny of the court, which I don't think it would, but nevertheless, Chuck Schumer made a point when he, or whoever introduced that bill and discussed it, that he wanted his Democrat colleagues' votes on the record. He was trying to basically blackmail, force, coerce, bully Joe Manchin and potentially Kyrsten Sinema. Who guess where Kyrsten Sinema's from, huh? Does anybody know? Does anybody know where the Democrat Senator Kyrsten Sinema, who voted for the abortion bill, where she's from? Why, I think we were just talking last hour. Arizona. She is the senator that beat the rhino that McConnell wanted to run. Talk about coming back full circle. So Sinema, who just voted for last second abortion, was elected in Arizona over the rhino that Mitch McConnell wanted to be in the Senate, picked and endorsed, and gave probably a couple million bucks to. Bam. And in this race, Donald J. Trump just supported, what's her name, Lee or Lake, the media news reporter, rhino, that Mitch McConnell supports. Curses, damn it, pisses me off. Again, I'm not mad at him, I'm not. I'll still defend him. Hell, I'd still take a bullet for him, you know, unequivocally, without hesitation. But dadgummit, one of my points to all that is you can't just believe him based on it's him. We can't blindly follow. We've got to dig down. We got to do research. Like I was talking about, you know, these conservative websites, apps, and so forth. Let's see. I was somewhere talking about the abortion. See? Gotcha. Thought I'd lost it. To put it mildly, this baby can be in the birth canal and be aborted. And it's a horrifying, gruesome process. I'm not going to describe it because it's horrific. And 49 United States senators just voted for a full term baby coming down the pike, You know, Johnny Bench is behind the plate. He's ready to catch it. Full-term baby. And the mom says, you know what? Wait. I changed my mind. You know, whatever reason. I don't know the father. Or, oh, I know who the father is. I definitely don't want the child. Whatever. Because at that point, it doesn't matter. You're the one that's in control under that type of country that these 49 senators voted for. So yeah, I would want to hear their arguments of what they voted on first and foremost, because I want to see if they all know. Of course, you know, I guess the best test in this hypothetical debate would be like two questions. In this most recent abortion bill, what are the bullet points of the bill? What are the bullet points and what specific reason, if any, did you vote for the bill? So I want to know how much they know about the bill, what they could tell me, and what persuaded them to vote for the abortion. Question one. I want them separately, I want to get a definition or reason, motivation on those points that you outlined, why you voted yes. And I don't know if was that in part two of that question? It wasn't my intention to put that at the tail end of that question. But in essence, you get my point. I want to know what, if you actually know what's in the bill, did you read it before you voted to pass it? Do you know all the bad things or good things? Presumably because you voted for it, so it's good things. So I want to know all the good stuff in the bill that you know, that you're aware of, that you voted for. And then I want you to tell me why you did, what your motivation was. And that way I would have like 49 either papers or, you know, what are they? 3x5 note cards would be too small, but 4x6 maybe. Or just a sheet of notebook paper, keep it simple. And just, you know, talk to every one of them if possible. And I would start with Joe Manchin. I would probably start with Kyrsten Sinema. Because those are the two that are, in other words, they have to pick their votes very carefully. Let me tell you how potentially this vote worked. Because this is not, I mean, this has happened before. And Manchin's been involved on one side or the other. So Manchin says, hey, look, I don't believe in abortion. And whether or not I do, the people of West Virginia, every time they're polled, my polls, you know, News, NBC, Rasmussen, whatever, every time there's a poll about abortion in West Virginia, they're against it. Whatever the percentage is, you know, whatever the qualifier, there may be a higher percentage against late-term abortion. The first trimester, it might be 50-50. But when you move into the second, especially the third trimester, which is what that bill was, late-stage abortion, I probably should know, but I don't, whether it was in there that the baby can, you know, whether it came out or not. I don't think that was in there. So we're just going to assume it's not. So in other words, West Virginia might be 50-50 on abortion up to, say, 10 or 12 weeks, heartbeat time, whatever. The second 3 months, it's 55-45-4. Or against abortion. So once you get into that second trimester, there's a majority of West Virginians that now think abortion is wrong for whatever reason. They disagree with it. So early on, let's say pre-heartbeat, okay. Post-heartbeat, no. When you get to the third trimester, and literally that sucker's coming out the birth canal, and you could you have the ability to change your mind and kill, murder that child? Well, West Virginia goes from 55-45 against second term, trimester, whatever, to 70-30 against abortion in the third trimester. Now, that's just numbers. I'm just trying to illustrate that there's no way I know those numbers. I'm just demonstrating why Manchin would be a hard no. Of course, I don't know his stance. He could be totally against abortion from a principled person, whether it's his religion, faith, or religion or whatever. I don't know. I don't know much about Joe Manchin. I just know he can't be trusted. A lot of people say, oh, you ought to switch and this and that. They're sucking his, you know what? And no, we don't want Republicans like that. We don't want a Democrat because he took a stance, a principled stance, for whatever the motivation is. And that's what I'm trying to determine or throw out the possibilities of what his potential motivations were. Again, it could be principled or it could be he put his finger up in the air and went with what the voter said, which ultimately, I'm not criticizing him for putting his finger up in the air. I will say I would much prefer that you have a principled stance on a subject like abortion, okay? Illegal immigration, at least if nothing else, follow the law, the existing laws, obey, follow, prosecute, etc. You know, that's it. We let it die down. Let it cool off. 2-year cooling off period. You can ramp up your philosophies, your policies, etc. So 2-year moratorium, but we'll concede all we want right now for the next 2 years is enforce immigration law. I thought, man, you know what? That's a hell of an idea. I have to, you know, remember that one. But regardless of what Manchin's motivation is, the way Washington works on some of these votes is senators, Democrat senators, because Manchin is a hard no, and they know they need 50, they know if Manchin's not budging, that there's nothing nobody can do. That piece of legislation is dead on arrival. And really and truly, if Manchin's a hard no on any type of bill, any bill, then there's really no reason to even have a vote. In reality, okay, we're talking, if you were approaching that piece of legislation from practical or, I don't know, I say reasonable, because I think under most circumstances, if you didn't have the votes, then you wouldn't proceed. But that's just me. This is what I do know. This is Washington politics, and it's not limited to the Senate. It's just easier because the Senate has, I guess you could say, more accountability to an extent in one aspect, so to speak, of the accountability seesaw or equation. In that, I mean, you can't say it carte blanche because the representatives, the House gets elected, rejected, reelected every 2 years. You've got a race, you got a campaign. Senators get 6. So I don't mean equal in that accountability type. I just mean that in the Senate, there's a hell of a lot fewer senators. So you're more in the spotlight than you would be a House vote that may get lost in the shuffle, which happens constantly. Constantly happens. In the Senate, potentially fewer people, higher visibility. So, I mean, accountability in that context. So here we go. We got an abortion that we know is horrific. That's a no-brainer. Thank God the Republicans are all in line, unlike the friggin' spending bills, the gun bill. Trump supporting these two effing rhino senators. See, I was ready to let it go and just watch the race, see who won, and just chalk it up. Just chalk it up as, hey, 2-3 years from now when this chick, either one of them, sides with the Democrats on an issue, I'll be able to say, I told you so. And I'll be able to tell people, this is why you don't just blindly follow politicians or personalities. Because if you just blindly follow Trump and what he says, who he endorses, you've done no research into these other candidates. You have no knowledge that in both cases, Mo Brooks definitively, I know 100% Mo Brooks was 10 times the conservative that chick will ever be. This Arizona race is a little bit sketchy, so I have to use context clues. I have to look at, you know, where the money's coming from. Where the Robson, I think is her name. Where are her, I don't want to use hate campaign attacks, because I don't know that for certain, but where's her attack ads coming from? They're coming more, as much from the Democrats, if not more. Because they think, they know their people. They know if Arizona puts a Republican, or I'm sorry, puts a conservative friggin' candidate on that ticket, they're in deep shit as a Democrat. The only way Kyrsten Sinema won is because she was considered moderate. And after McCain, especially after that so-and-so blankety-blank, just blank, once that dude was dead and out of the way, I think Arizona said, you know what? No more. We'll stay home. We'll vote for a Democrat. I don't know the exact mindset or mood of Arizona, but I'm pretty sure it would be safe to say that after McCain, they said no more. So when Sinema ran against the pilot lady I've talked about, who was a rhino, they said, no, we don't care. You know, she's a rhino. Thank God the rhino's dead. And I shouldn't say that. I don't mean any disrespect for that statement. But I've heard 20, 30 years about people lamenting politicians overstaying their welcome. You know, Mitch McConnell was just reelected maybe 2018. I think it may have been this past year. Matter of fact, I think it was. So I think he's starting his new 6-year term. Chuck Schumer, I think, will run next year. That's why he's gone ape shit kook. Because he knows that there's a chance the idiot retard AOC may run against him. And it doesn't matter what kind of gray matter she has between her ears. She's a far left progressive kook and she's popular. But she's an idiot. I knew a girl that went to Boston a couple years ago. She was going to Boston. I was like, dude, you don't want to rethink your decision? And it's, you know, considered a, I guess, better than average school, I guess. I don't live in that area. What I do know is I hate the Red Sox, the Bruins. The Patriots, I don't hate the Patriots, but they're not one of my favorites. I do hate the Red Sox. I don't care for the Bruins hockey team. But nevertheless, it's about the extent of my Boston knowledge. But I'm like, that's where AOC effing graduated from. She got a degree from that school. Well, you know, and this girl was smart, had a good head on her shoulders. I think it was a partial scholarship of some sort. And she's like, you know, look, I'm smart. You know, she's defending herself. And probably, I don't know how often it comes up, but yeah, I knew she would get an education. She would do the right thing, study, you know, not just, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think AOC did it like online, which who knows if she actually did it. I don't know, so I'm not going to doubt it. All I know is whatever Boston, if it's Boston College, Boston University, whatever that college is, has a stain on it, at least in my opinion, okay? Has a stain on its reputation as teaching results, critical thinking, etc. Because it's obvious that girl is not present. And I don't know enough about her. I don't care what she says. She's a radical kook. So I don't know if it's because she doesn't have the capacity or if she don't care. None of that is relevant to me. She went to your school. You gave her a diploma. So when it gets back to the Senate, Chuck Schumer's scared to death. She's going to run against him. So right now, for the next 2 years, you know, he's got to be as kooky, progressive, Marxist as he can to save his political career. And the dude's, I don't know, 76, 78? He's in his 70s. Well, I'm assuming he looks it. I don't think he's as old as, you know, Grandpa Drooler, you know, depends. But I think he's in his 70s. So, why end your career in defeat? And I'm not saying he would. There's a chance AOC may continue to be in the House. She may end up being Speaker of the House and have basically more power than Pelosi. She'll certainly have more quote-unquote credibility despite her lack of intelligence, at least displayed so far, thus far. So there's a chance she may not run for the Senate. But if she decides to run, certainly if she announces first, but then again, if she announces first and you decide as Chuck Schumer to retire, you look like a wuss. Chicken shit. I can say that. That's TV-able, I would think. You know, that's what you look like, chicken shit. You look like you anticipate defeat. You can spin it any way you want to. Spend my final years in the sunset. You know, Harry Reid retired. He just died. Was it this year he died? The former Democrat majority leader, I think the longest running as majority, not the longest party leader, but I think he has the record for the longest majority leader, which I think conversely McConnell has for maybe the longest Republican leader. But he's, you know, McConnell's, you know, he's certainly not a political dummy. He is a political animal through and through. We needed him. If at whatever cycle he was on, I wish in 2014, I think it was, I'm pretty sure. I think it was 2014 that he had a legitimate challenger, and I think he was kind of nervous about the challenger. Again, probably whoever won the primary was reasonably expected to win the general vote in November, which a lot of these primaries, Alabama, Perfect example, which is why it pisses me off that Trump supported a friggin' rhino. Pisses me off every friggin' time I think about it. Jesus, I gotta quit thinking about it. Lord, forgive me for using Jesus' name. I don't think it's in vain, but certainly inappropriate. But dadgummit, it certainly pisses me off. Because that's a perfect seat. Think about this. And I'm acknowledging my sidetrackedness. Hopefully I'll remember to get back to the original topic, which whether or not you guys remember, the original topic was the way certain votes work in the Senate and potentially the House, and to play that string out. But as a side note, think about all the states, or think about this country. Think about the electric. Think about your fellow Americans. You know what the biggest wrong is? Do you have any idea what the biggest, I used travesty earlier in the night to describe whatever I was describing, but I know in my mind I was thinking bad, bad, bad. So I won't use travesty for this, even though I think it's two bads. So it's not three bads, it's two bads. It's a freaking crying shame. Let me say this, it pisses me off. It elevates, hopefully not my blood pressure. I got my phone in here though. Just another way my mind works instantly. I'm telling a joke about my blood pressure and looking at the phone and verifying I have my phone in case, just, knock on wood, but in case something were to happen, that I could dial 911, presumably in time. And then immediately it turns to doom and gloom because I live on a farm and there's a gate. And I've often wondered what happens, not necessarily to me, but one of the other two families living on this farm, if something happens in the middle of the night, here comes rescue. Well, if it's my main landlord, my buddy, maybe his wife, if it's him, maybe his wife or kid gets in a vehicle and drives down to the gate. I don't know, quarter, probably. Anyway, so it's just one of those stupid, random ass thoughts that dive into my head just out of the blue. So it does, it pisses me off. But one of the things that I think more Americans, see, I pussyfoot around it with you guys. And pussyfoot's a legitimate word in the dictionary. Last I checked, I hope they haven't, again, hijacked or bastardized that word. And maybe that's my fault of pussyfooting. I've already used the word or the phrase taking a circuitous route. I certainly don't want to use it again, but that's my initial thought. I don't want to say and use the phrase beat around the bush, because I think that would imply that, I think that would negatively reflect on this audience, because I do give this audience an extremely amount of credit, for whatever reason. Nevertheless, I want to always know, that I look and treat you guys and talk to you with respect. Whatever way, however I can tragically describe something that I think is one of the top biggest disappointments. Now, you guys probably think, we didn't repeal and replace Obamacare yet. Our politicians failed. Every time we've elected these guys, whichever one's turn it is, fails, flips, lies to us, campaign, broken promises. You guys are probably thinking along those lines. And I certainly agree that those are very unfortunate things that have happened. But I also think in a way, all of those things in our past is what gave us Trump. Okay? Make no mistake about it. Again, with the theory or philosophy that if you change one thing, that you potentially change all of history, or certainly major events. So heretofore, all that's led us down this road and given us Trump. Now, again, I said last week, I think Trump needs to be a kingmaker. I think he needs to resign from wanting to be the king. I wish I could talk to him, feel him out, just tell him how I feel, and hopefully make him understand it's certainly zero malice. It's just a country motivation, a future motivation. That's all it is. I'm not influenced by any person or anything I've ever heard. This is just me, my thoughts, based on my experience. But the biggest problem is around the country, like in Pennsylvania, you've got a Republican House and Senate. There are states all over this country where you either have both houses and their state legislatures are Republican, and there's some that have both houses and a Republican governor. And do you know that in these certain states that you're still not getting conservative legislation? That in Pennsylvania, one of my things I've hopefully covered, it may, I don't know if I need to cover it more, is the 2020 election in Pennsylvania. And how their constitution says, I think it's a constitutional amendment. I don't require, because there were so many states involved, but I certainly know it's against their state's constitution for a governor and or a supervisor of elections, i.e. any one individual, to change the voting laws, parameters, however you want to term it. The Supreme Court effed it up. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court, which is a bunch of hacks, they're all Democrats. And if I'm not mistaken, in Pennsylvania, they're appointed. They're not elected. But don't quote me on it. But all around this country, we have Republicans overwhelming, dominating these legislatures. And again, in a lot of cases, Republican governors to go along with it. Some of those very states were the harshest during COVID. You had just a handful of conservative governors that, it, regardless of how long it took them to get there, got there and stood their ground. And as conservative, as Republican, as whatever you want to call it, as this country truly is, and those states, see, that's how the Democrats know. That's, for instance, the Democrats know the Republicans, just like Osama bin Laden and Iran and Putin and Xi Jinping, whatever how you say his name. See, the Democrats know the Republican Party, their tendencies, their history, and how they're always going to have a couple of them defect. And they know that. Just like Obama said, hey, just hang in there. America's a paper tiger. We'll get them. We just have to be patient. Putin, Xi Jinping in China. Putin's like, okay, Trump's elected. I thought we had Hillary. I could have kicked Ukraine's ass up around the moon by now, to quote, paraphrase Jackie Gleason. But Putin took the, I'm assuming, Putin took the stance, hey, okay, I got 4 years. Nobody's going to run against me. If they do, I'll effing kill them. Okay? This, you know, I'm dictator for life. This is my game. This country. Okay, I'm the leader here. I'm the tyrant. I'm the totalitarian. I'm the despot. I make the calls. So Trump's the president. You know, he's unpredictable. And that's all it took. It didn't have to be, oh, he's a Republican, or, you know, he's mean, menacing, bad orange man. Didn't take any of that complicated, traditional type of thought that Putin was classically trained in. Things to judge. It didn't take any of that shit to put Putin on the back burner. To keep him and China in their place. To finally convince. You know what's so effing bad on top of all the other bullshit I've talked about? You know what's bad? Trump had to finally convince Mexico that what he was talking about with immigration was beneficial to both countries. To think about your people, for one, your constituents, your country. You're the president. Make your country great again. I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. So on and so forth. But this is, I'm not telling you something that's just good for this. It's a win-win for you. And although it may be a different Mexican leader, it's pretty piss poor to think, which has never happened to my knowledge, as long as I have followed politics, I have never heard of a Mexican leader, president, whatever, be upset, angry, or politely chastise an American president for their immigration policy. And of course, you know, taking understanding how significant it is, it's not. I mean, I dare you. You find one of these effing libs that are, you know, immigration kooks, just retards that don't understand first and foremost, it's against the law, okay? Nothing else needs to be said. It's against the law. Enforce the law. That's all. That's the whole debate. Again, let's take a 2-year cooling off period. Enforce the law. So there's not people clamoring to get over there on the Mexico side. These kind of pussyfoot actors and celebrities. So see, I found a way to say it. These types of celebrities, actors, musicians, artists, whatever the F they are, none of them son of a bitches that have ever threatened to leave this country. Not only have they not left, but they damn sure hadn't went down to Mexico, except maybe on a vacation, understandably. But no, people don't immigrate with an E, okay? So this is another thing I caught somebody. I don't know if I've ever told that story. I probably should tell the story of how the immigration point came up. So it's not people immigrating with an E leaving America. It's the opposite. So Mexico's losing people. And I assume a degree percentage of bad guys. But I'm going to say I don't have my thoughts and feelings and principles because of the bad apples. Because I'm going to say I'm going to better you to further your argument or to disprove your initial stupid accusation that I'm thinking they're all criminals. For every criminal that actually goes, that's bad, that immigrates to America. So I'm going to concede if there's 1%, 5%, 50%, whatever it is, whatever that number is, I want top grade A, law-abiding, religious, family-oriented, I want the best of the best. I want the cream of the crop. So I'll take every one of those bad guys as long as I get an equal number of good guys in, you know, also to balance the seesaw. Other than that, enforce the law. But when the Mexican president is angry over our policy, that in and of itself should tell you that something is wrong at the border. Anyway, I'm out of time. Thanks for playing along and listening to The Forgotten Conservative.